Good morning. Good morning. Now tell them what you're laughing at, Dan.
Well, right. Senator Tony Wong drinking a cup of coffee said, "This is coffee from yesterday."
A lot of stuff here is from yesterday.
Brad, we're so honored to have in the Touch Points Rehab interview chairs State Senator Tony Wong, who's from the 28th District, Republican, and the Deputy Speaker of the House, Democrat from the 28th District, State Representative Russ Morin. And gentlemen, welcome both to our broadcast.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. It's a thrill to be here.
And the former mayor of Wethersfield.
Yep.
Wethersfield's doing pretty well.
It's a great town.
Huh? It really is. It really, I'll tell you, there are so many things in Wethersfield that they stand for. They've got that historic section, and it's just tremendous. It really is.
Yeah, our historic district is the oldest in New England, and it's quite a beautiful place. You should come down and visit.
You know, we were just talking during the break about how you two, Senator Wong, Deputy Speaker Russ Morin, you collaborated on a bill. How about talking about that?
Well, great collaboration, too.
It is a reflection of things that we can do to make positive differences in our state. The example we're talking about is Russ and I worked on a bone marrow drive insurance coverage program to help people suffering from blood cell cancer like leukemia to be able to find matches. And then we also worked to raise awareness about matching and donations. It is all about making differences in our community and saving lives. So what we encountered with the challenges was something that I'll always remember in working together. It's something that warms my heart to know that we can do good things in Hartford.
Russ?
And it took us a couple years to get this done. There was a lot of pushback from, obviously, the insurance industry, but we had people from all over Connecticut that Tony knew, that I knew, that had suffered from these rare blood diseases. And we were able to pull together a great consortium of legislators to stand behind us. And, you know, it goes to show, oftentimes, people don't see the good that we do, that we can do together. They tend to look at the negative that happens in politics. But a great amount of respect for Senator Wong, and he and I work together on a lot of great things. Don't always agree. That's fair. I think that's a good thing. But we get along and we respect each other and we try to find commonalities that we can work on.
For folks listening to us right now that don't know just what this does, just explain it to us, will you?
Well, what it was is, you know, blood cell cancer is a unique aspect of cancer that affects people's immune system, but also their blood transfusion and bone marrows. And what we wanted to do was raise the matching. So the idea was we can get profiles of people's blood cell and then keep it in a database so that people throughout the country, throughout the world, when they suffer from these blood cell cancers, can search through that database. And one of the big advocates that taught me so much was a young lady that had gone through, and as a great teacher, gone through multiple surgeries in her young life, and she was able to get a bone marrow transplant from a donor from Germany.
Wow.
An individual that she has never met. Now, she has just gotten married, and she has been an inspiration. So when we talk about making differences, we talk about working together as Russ and I did, we're going to talk about the budget today. And if nothing else we take away from this is a lesson to understand. People suffering from cancer, people that are struggling, don't care about Democratic solutions, Republican solutions. They just want you to fix the problem. And isn't that a very powerful thing that I learned in working with Russ, to remember that when we get back into the trenches, let's do what's necessary. Stop posturing and get the job done for the people we represent.
And let's talk about getting in the trenches for just a moment. Explain to our audience, Russ, what your role is as Deputy Speaker of the House.
Well, it's obviously not bringing Senator Wong coffee, because I missed that today. it's a very good, I'm so pleased that our Speaker Joy Arsimowitz appointed me to this position. Really, our biggest role is when the Speaker's not available, when we're in session running the dais, running the debate on the floor, making sure people are orderly, making sure the questions are germane. So it's really just running the floor of the House. We also are involved in more of the bill screening making sure, you know, bills are prepared properly, making sure that they have, that if there's committees, they have to go through. So we review just every bill that comes through. It's very, if you like to read, it's a great job. And sometimes legislation may not be the most exciting things to read, but very important. So working with the Democratic majority and, frankly, with the minority as well.
So, in other words, you have to read the bill before you pass it.
That's the idea.
Well,
who was that woman in Washington that said, let's pass it, then we'll read it, huh?
You know what? It's a good point, Brad. We are not Washington. And having been a former House member, and it's important to not just compliment Russ and what he does from a legislative bill reading standpoint, but what he does so very well is the fact that they represent the decorum. And the respect that needs to be engaged when we do the business of the people and how you conduct yourself. It's critically important. So Brett, Russ is a absolute prime example of that good work.
Live from the Capitol, my dear friends, and we'll be here till 10 o'clock. We're going to talk with so many of those folks who represent us. If any of you have any questions, all you have to do is call us at 1-888-574-2723. We're going to take a break. It is 6:15, and then we'll be back.
Before the governor's budget address, Brad and Dan have their say.
Live from the state capitol
on the Talk of Connecticut.
20 minutes after 6 o'clock. Well, Daniel, they've got their coffee now. Everything is copacetic, as they used to say. And I'd like to ask both of you, as far as the governor is concerned, do you believe that he'll run again? What do you think? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but...
Put you on the spot.
No, I think it's a challenging job for anyone. And going into the cycle that we have for the past decade, it is something that would be a challenge for anyone, as I said before. But I think what needs to be done is to create solutions right now, not to use the cliche, kick the can down the road, and to find short-term solutions. The time is now for leadership to stand up and to do what's necessary for the people of Connecticut. If that means he wants to run again, God bless him. But if he decides he's not going to, I think it's really important for him to understand the legacy that he will leave in the terms that he has served to make Connecticut better. So I don't know what he's going to do, but I hope that this budget message will show that he will stand up and do what's necessary to make our state better, to restore confidence, to make us work together. That's what a governor should do. So I don't know what he's going to do into the future, but I certainly hope that today he will send a message to unify us and work toward building a better Connecticut.
Russ. Well, he certainly hasn't shared this with me, but I would think that he's, based on some conversations and things, that he's probably leaning on running again. Listen, let's be clear. The senator made some comments about whether you're kicking the can down the road or leading. Whether you agree or disagree with the governor, one thing I'll say is that he certainly takes stances and he's not afraid to lead. Now, part of leadership is building a consensus to get people to come along with you and agree with what you're doing, but he has never been afraid to take stances and do what he feels is best. I'm not saying that I've always agreed, but I'll say that he certainly is not afraid to step forward with plans and his vision.
Okay. You know, I go back to when we had 40,000 people right here at the Capitol outside on that income tax battle when Lowell Weicker was the governor. And I remember Governor Weicker saying, you know, and they just about got it passed. Just about a couple people left and so forth. You don't need to have me repeat the story this morning. However, that did not do what they told the people it was going to do. We passed the income tax. We don't have any more worries. Now they're thinking about drugs. They're thinking about this. More money, and the people out there listening will just say, yeah, more money to spend.
What is it about the constant deficits?
Well, if you go by how it is, revenues don't match expenditures. And you're right. Last year, we had to cut $900 million worth of services. And I'm sure you're going to see larger numbers this year. It goes on to what are the responsibilities of government? What are the core services that government should provide? And unfortunately, some of the cuts that have been made and seem to be on upcoming are things that I just frankly can't support. You know, we should as a society be making sure that our children with especially developmental and intellectual disabilities, those people should not have services cut. They should be taken care of. They can't take care of themselves. We need to do that. Public safety, education. So there's a lot of services that, while it sounds good to easily say we spend too much, certain things to me are our responsibility to fund. I bet you if the senator and I went through the budget document together, we could both come up with a whole list of things that should be either added or deleted, and they'd be totally different.
Well, I think we didn't get to this problem overnight, and we're not going to solve it overnight. But as I said earlier, we need to take a stand. And I think what government has failed the people on is basic premises. We've moved so far away from the premises of being able to create a predictable government, where people know what we're doing from one day to the next year and 5 years. Having retroactive tax increases that we decide in October and then retroactive it back to January is not a predictable way of doing business. The second thing is we've not created or maintained an ecosystem where we can create sustainable job growth, sustainable economic growth. As Salim said so well, as a business owner and a manufacturer, he has no support. He's overregulated. He just says, leave them alone. We have not created a sustainable system for businesses and people to thrive. And the third thing, most important of all, a tremendous loss of transparency. We don't know what goes on up here. People get a sense of detachment. Brad, you and Dan do a great job in getting the news out and letting people know what goes on up in Hartford. But the frustration is when you get budgets an hour before you have to vote, when you hear things that are being put forth and done after the fact by saying it's very complex, the reality is there is no transparency. And people feel a tremendous loss of the engagement of government. They feel the tremendous loss of trust in our government. That's where we're at. You know, the fact that 25 years ago we passed an income tax that was going to be temporary, but along with that we had a referendum of over 75% of the people voted to impose a spending cap.
That's right.
Wait a second. It has never been enforced because the legislator has never acted on it. So that's the first thing we could do. Maybe this session we vote to enforce a spending cap. And maybe this session we also vote on every labor contract that comes before us. But legislators have to take control of their duties.
Why can't you do that now on the labor contract?
Well, Russ, to you.
Well, we can. We certainly can vote on it. They come on front of the calendar. And I don't remember. I think there's been one vote since I've been here on a contract. And I would like to get back, if I could, just briefly on the comment about the jobs, the sustainability of jobs that the senator mentioned. Some of the things we've done recently, the Lockheed Martin deal, talking about supporting manufacturing, that deal ensured that a huge amount of the work had to be done by Connecticut in-state businesses to supply them. Look at the jobs at Pratt & Whitney that we were able to keep in-state. Could you imagine what would happen if let Pratt & Whitney walk away? Look at the jobs that are happening in Groton, New London at Electric Boat. Part of the speaker in our caucus's agenda this year is to really step up our vocational technical schools to provide the trained personnel to work in those fields. We've got a whole plan of working on jobs, helping small business. You know, the governor's always done the first five. We'd like to do that type of work with small businesses, give them the support they need to grow, because we all know small businesses drive our economy. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that can be done and should be done. It's up to us to enact them. I mean,
Do you hear from small businesses on occasion, or even any size business, that the state overregulates them?
Some contact me. When Tony was talking about, you know, how things are, transparency up here, we don't get. When I was mayor of Wethersfield, people called me at my house. They wanted to know about this. They were worried about that. I'm 7.5 miles away, but Wethersfield people aren't as engaged at this level. You know, we have to try to engage them, whether it's through our social media, through mailings that we do to try to keep them informed. But it doesn't come that much this way. Certainly welcome that. But, you know, it's going to be a difficult year, and it's going to require solutions that we both sit down in rooms together. I'm all about putting us both together. I'd love to see more collaboration. I think sometimes there's opportunities, and politics gets in the way.
We're at a tremendous crossroads for the state, and we have to work together. Otherwise, we're just going to fail together. But saying that, I have to tell you, my frustration is the great examples and the successes of Lockheed and Electric Boat and their hiring and Pratt and Whitney, that's important. But I hear stories from small mom and pops, mid-sized businesses that feel the tremendous weight of taxation over regulation. Here's the reality. They certainly aren't getting calls from Department of Labor asking them how their business is and how they can be better. When they get a call from Department of Labor, they figure something's going on. Something's wrong. This is not the way we should govern. We should be empowering and partnering with businesses.
6:30, live from the Capitol. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up and then back with more. We're here for you, 1-888-574-2723.
Your elected officials and what they think about the budget. It's the Brad and Dan Show on the Talk of Connecticut, live from the Capitol.
And my friends, the Talk of Connecticut Channel 3 early warning weather. Cloudy, damp, and rain this morning. Got some freezing rain in some areas of our state. It's going to become partly cloudy later as well. The high's near 56 tonight. Partly cloudy skies, and that will give way to occasional snow showers overnight. The low's near 29, and tomorrow periods of snow. Some of the forecasts saying 4 to 8 inches in the Connecticut area. Some are saying up to 14 inches. So I guess we're going to have to wait and see. As far as temperatures this morning, let's see here. We've got Mansfield at 36, Weathersfield at 35, Hartford and Waterbury at 36 degrees. Okay, Dan, we've got two of our state leaders with us this morning. Yep. Very, very interesting.
In the Touchpoints Rehab interview chairs today, the Deputy Speaker of the House, State Representative Russ Morin, and we have State Senator Tony Huang. We were talking off mic about the UConn women's basketball
team.
Let's
win again.
Start there.
Hopefully we can agree on that.
Look,
we can agree on that. And I remember when Gino came into the General Assembly on UConn Day, and it was a couple of years ago, and he addressed the whole body and says, look, if I was governor right now, you wouldn't be having these problems. And we chuckled a little bit, but one of
you
the
probably problems, wouldn't.
But one of the things you don't fully appreciate about the UConn excellence is how hard they work to prepare as a team. And they all work together in unison. And they have the highest standard of excellence. They recruit for that excellence. They practice for that excellence. And it's something that I, you know, when we moved into to Connecticut over 25, 30 years ago, that was what appealed to us about Connecticut. I think, as I said earlier, we're at a crossroads in our state, and we're going to talk about a budget today. I think it's about time for us to kind of reclaim that source of pride and work together. I think the world of Russ Morin, and I think we can create solutions together. But when you talk about the UConn women's, one of the things we need to understand, that excellence is not without a lot of hard work, without a lot of sacrifice. And that I translate to a lot of what we have to do up in Hartford is the fact that we need to do a lot of the work to pursue the excellence that we need to have in our state.
Russ.
Well, again, they're just amazing. But if you look at what Gino does in recruiting, he recruits the greatest players. And if you look at what their high school numbers are, they're all, you know, the top of the top. When they come to UConn, they develop a bit of, they're not selfish. They become selfless. They're watching that game last night. How many times were there so many opportunities for somebody to just shoot a layup and they pass to a teammate? And it takes a special person to bring all that together, because in athletics, egos are amazing. In politics, egos are amazing as well. And trying to get people to step back a little bit from that, and we need to be selfless. And listen, we all put a tremendous amount of work in. Whether you agree with our politics or disagree with our politics, the people that I serve with up here, we put an amazing amount of time. And I would just say, sometimes if we disagree, people get aggressive. Just because we disagree doesn't mean I'm right and you're wrong. It just means that we have a disagreement on the way things are supposed to go. And that's the biggest challenge in this building, is keeping people in check and trying to all. I believe every legislator here believes they're doing the best thing for their constituents.
You know, one of the big problems that we have, and I'm concerned about it, Dan is, we all are, is the city of Hartford. And if they ever had to file bankruptcy, and it could come, okay, this will spread across America. Businesses will say, well, what do we want to go to Connecticut for? And then there are those who say, well, Connecticut is one of the wealthiest states in the Union. Not all people in this state are wealthy. These are the problems that we've got, and if we file bankruptcy, we're going to have a bigger problem.
Does the legislature handle Hartford?
One of the big fundamentals of this budget discussion and the deliberations will be how the rural and the suburbs and our urban centers work together and how they contribute to the operations and the finances of the state. It is one of the big underlying fundamentals that we need to address. And I think it's critical. It's critical for us to ensure that cities succeed. Not only Hartford, I border Bridgeport. We have Waterbury. We have Danbury. We have New London. We need our cities to thrive and to be an engine of businesses, creativity, entrepreneurialism. But there are challenges. It starts with education. It starts with taxation. It starts with breaking cycles of poverty and violence and drugs and abuse. These are things that we can't turn our heads from as our suburbs and rural communities.
But they don't want to pay, though. They've got their own problems.
Without
and they say, why should we pay?
Well, the issue is in our rural and suburban communities, we have people who are suffering economically. We need to understand that we're all in this together. But the real challenge is for us to be collaborative together. It's going to be really, really hard. You're right, Brad. We can't allow Hartford to fail. We need to support it. But in some ways, part of that challenge is Hartford needs to step up and be part of the solution. Because that's one of the frustrations. We can give people a hand up and lift them up, but people are extremely frustrated with handouts.
That's right.
Russ, what about it? You're one of the bordering towns.
Correct. And so the Mayor Bronin has gone and done a tour of the suburban towns around Hartford. He's been to Weathersfield, Rocky Hill, Newington, Bloomfield, Windsor, West Hartford. And I think different communities have met him with a different tone. I know Rocky Hill was a little tougher. Weathersfield, people were kind of, the people in the room were in a 50-50 mode of what can we do. And let's not kid ourselves. I believe that in the past years, there's been a lot of mismanagement in Hartford. I don't know that I share that feeling now. I think Mayor Bronin is really, he came into something that wasn't his, and he rolled up his sleeves, and he's been trying to address his things. He's cutting the staffing. He's doing everything he can to make the city leaner but still provide services. It's going to be I do agree with the senator that it's going to take a collaborative effort. I don't think that if we just say we're going to bail you out, we're just going to give you all the money, that's going to go. Nobody's going to support that, because Tony's right. We have people in Weathersfield that have great need. Not everybody that lives in Weathersfield or Fairfield is wealthy. And so we have to look at all these solutions and try that are coming forth. I know I'm very interested in seeing what the governor says. If you know, reading some of the snippets, I haven't seen the budget, but talking about the redistribution of education cost sharing, talk about something that's going to blow up towns, because a town like mine with a very limited commercial tax base, if they take education cost sharing funds from us to throw somewhere else, our property tax, our resident, 87%, I think it's 86% of the tax base is residential in Weathersfield.
Woof.
The only way we're going to be able to make that up is either cut services and make our schools lousy, which nobody's going to support, or raise our property taxes, which nobody wants to support that either.
Okay. 647. And right here at the state capitol, you know, Dan, it's so interesting to sit, and especially that our listeners can hear what some of the folks that are running this government have to say about the controversial issues and the issues that we're all concerned with.
Well, let's bounce this off of, we've got the Deputy Speaker of the House, Russ Moran, who's also a member of the Transportation Committee. We have Senator Tony Huang, who's not on transportation, but his district would be affected by this. And it's the talk of electronic tolls. So, Russ, where do you stand on that?
pardon me. I certainly support the tolls, as my chairman of the Transportation Committee, Tony Guerrero, does. It's imperative that we, with the infrastructure that we have and the traffic that we have on our roads and the necessity to rehabilitate our bridges, that we have a fund, and I also would support a, just designating that money and not letting it be used for anything else but transportation, for lack of better terms, a lockbox, to fix our infrastructure and actually get people to come through our state. I mean, Connecticut, you can come from New Jersey or New York and drive through Connecticut, if there's no traffic, which I guess there never is, but in 2.5 hours. People don't stop here to buy gas. People don't stop here for anything. They just drive through. Let's get some of those revenues so we can start doing some of the things. Because if we're taking the toll dollars to pay for roads, that takes money that we're spending on other things. Either if we're looking at cutting, which is on the table, that will help that, because we're not now putting all that money into the special transportation fund, and it'll allow us to utilize those resources for things that are important, like education and kids with disabilities.
Senator. Well, there you go. Russ and I don't agree. Tolls is another tax. There is no other way around it. But saying that, there are so many issues that comes into that from a standpoint of allocating a commitment to our transportation infrastructure. It always comes with that conversation, right? When we talk about tolls, we talk about how bad our bridges are, how bad our roads and our transit systems are. But it shouldn't be, because the reality at hand is, when you talk about raiding money from special transportation funds, we already tax people for transportation. It's from our gasoline tax, one of the highest in the country. The fact that we continue to raid that account.
Hold that thought right there, because we're coming up on what they say is a hard break. So remember, raid that account, and then we will be back. But let's get an update with your money now. Joined by Russ Moran, Deputy Speaker of the House, Senator Tony Huang. And Tony, we had gotten to the point where you said, raid the lockbox. Russ, I hear a lot that why should government be trusted with a lockbox when supposedly the money that came from the gas tax and from the gross receipts tax was earmarked for transportation, and it didn't go there. Most of it didn't go in that direction.
Well, I don't know about most, but yeah, you're right, and that's why I say if we legislatively put into place, I think constitutionally put into place, a designated area to keep that money in place for transportation. Let's talk. I mean, people, this good senator says, you know, we shouldn't do tolls. It's, you know, another tax. You know what it's going to cost? That highway right outside the Aetna Viaduct 84, which we all know needs to be done as a safety issue and a transportation issue. It's going to be at least $6 billion. Multiply that by huge projects all throughout the state. Either we all remember the Myannis River Bridge,
yep,
named after Michael Morano now. Is that what we need to come to for us to start being serious about getting an allocation of designated funds to fix our infrastructure?
Senator.
Make no mistake about it. Infrastructure sustainability and improvement is absolutely critical. We have failed on that from many administrations, both sides of the party. We have lapsed in that regard. We have a lot of catching up to do. But it again goes back to our priorities. Let's allocate the money that we've spent and commit that to transportation. But the problem is, remember the three things I said: predictability, sustainability, and transparency. None of those three things existed in how we manage our infrastructure. So let's go back to it. Let's create a predictable system. Let's bond our money and make the commitments to our infrastructure. But let's not tax people in our communities, hard-working tax dollars, just to make up the mistakes that we made. When you're looking at infrastructure improvements, you should bond those issues. And we should make long-term plans. We should also evaluate private-public partnerships to ensure that projects are done in a timely, efficient, and productive manner. These are things that we have to do. We're at a crossroads. We need to be different and innovative to create plans to solve problems. But saying all that, it just hasn't worked. You're taxing people, and tolls have never been one that stopped growing. You know, I use the example of the George Washington Bridge. I believe it was maybe about 10 years ago, it was less than $5. It is now $16 to cross that bridge. It's an insidious tax that people never feel, and it hurts everyone.
Russ, people drive on our roads from all over the country, never stopping and putting any money in. The gas tax, I would say, it targets mostly Connecticut people. I would be in favor of reducing the gas tax if we implement tolls, 5-10 cents a gallon, whatever the number is, and that to ease a little bit for the Connecticut people, but also so we can start collecting money from all those out-of-staters that just drive right through our state.
If I may, the premise of this discussion is we don't have a revenue problem in our state. We have a spending problem.
Until we get our
spending under control and discipline in our government, we should not impose another tax burden that goes uncontrolled. And the premise has been the income tax and any other tax we put on the people. We have a spending problem. Let's control that before we do anything else.
Running out of time. Let's change the topic. Russ, did I read where you were trained as a chef? Did you go to school again?
Many years ago, yes. As a matter of fact, I used to cook at a Wilson Seafood, and I used to run into Brad Davis there all the time. We both can remember some fine days at that establishment.
What's your favorite dish that you can make?
I can't make anything anymore. I'm old, but I really take pleasure in making great stocks and doing homemade soups and stews and such.
All right, Senator, your parents came from communist China. They fled communist China. Is that right?
Yes, and that's an important lesson. One of the greatest strength of our country is the fact that despite the inauguration, whether you like the candidate or not, we had a peaceful transfer of power in our country. And what people need to understand, the next day that we had protests in which people were allowed to freely express their viewpoints. Look, in a lot of other countries, you've got militaries, you've got people who stifle opposition viewpoints. Let's go back to the greatness of this country. We live in the greatest country in the world. Let us never forget that we are all Americans first.
10 seconds left. Final thoughts?
Oh, it's great to be here, and great luck on your new format and your show. Love listening to you.
Russ.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. It was a great pleasure, and I enjoyed the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, coming up to 7 o'clock, we are live at the Capitol. If any of you listening this morning have a question, all you have to do is call 1-888-574-2723. And we'll be back right after the 7 o'clock news. We got more to come. Stay with us.
WDRC AM, WDRC FM.